Thank you, Amelia. And bonus, thank you for that message that you delivered to us about Thanksgiving. Laura promised that I'd give you a little bit of background, and I think the background of that song is so wonderful. You see, there was a middle-aged woman named Martha who was discouraged. Her mind was drawn to her troubles. It was drawn to the negative things in her life, and it was dragging her down. And a woman named Ellen White, who sometimes received visions and dreams from God, received a vision especially for Martha. And she wrote that to her in a letter, and that's where that phrase comes from. In the dream, she was walking through a garden with someone else, and they were getting focused on the briars. They were getting focused on the thorns. This person she was walking with was talking about all of the things that were troubling about their surroundings. And then she said there was someone walking nearby who spoke to them. And he said that phrase, "Gather the lilies, the roses, the lilies, the pinks. Don't gather the briars." And so some of you know, that just resonates with me. She gave me a choice about what song she was going to sing today. That just resonates with me because, you know, as I go through life, I love seeing the beauty all around us. And folks, it is everywhere. I consider it to be the fingerprints of our loving God, like gift cards, like love notes that he leaves around us. So I would encourage you in this Thanksgiving season. Normally we wait for January 1 to tell you to make resolutions, but why don't you make a Thanksgiving resolution this year? And make a resolution to open your eyes, and it involves opening your heart by the grace of God to start each day looking for the beautiful things that he has surrounded us with. So thankful. And Dawn, thank you for pointing out that chief among those is the people that he puts us with. And so I want to thank God for you today. I want to also encourage you to come and gather for a beautiful time this afternoon at 4. And after that, at 6, you know what? One of the beautiful things about TV on demand is it will wait for you. And so tonight at 6 o'clock, let's gather the roses, the lilies, and the pinks of being with each other for a fun game night, because that's not on demand. That's something that we will leave our homes and we will come together in the fellowship hall and have a wonderful time together. So I encourage you to do that. It's just part of the lifestyle of living in the life of love that God has called us to, and it's so rewarding, I promise you. Would you please pray with me now? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us that's manifested all around us. We thank you for the beauty that you have put around us, not only in the flowers, but in the people, in the blessings that you've poured out on us. Father, we're calling on you. We aren't bad because it's so easy to notice the bad things. We're just humans, Father. So please, inspire us and remind us to see the blessings that you have around us, and call our hearts out in gratitude, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My grandparents were incredible gift givers, and they were way ahead of their time. You see, every birthday or every Christmas, one of the things that we could count on is that grandma and grandpa somehow knew how to give us gifts that were perfectly suited towards us. And there were 5 of us grandkids in our family, others among the families of our aunts and uncles, but there were 5 of us, and every last one of us, our gifts from grandma and grandpa suited us to a T. That's how good they were. You know what their secret? Money. Because every Christmas and every birthday, they would send us a card, and we would dutifully and appreciatively take the time to open the card and read it before we verified the amount on the check. But I tell you what, we would then be able to get whatever suited our hearts. You know, Perhaps in your life you've had people like that, and people who were less artful, whose gifts you appreciated, and just because you knew they were given in love, right? People, well, I'm not going to get into too many details about that. You can fill in the rest on yourselves. But one thing that my mother would do then, after we had opened our cards, after we had seen and the check had just slipped out and flown into our laps, my mother would bring to us something to write with and something to write on. Maybe it was a piece of paper, or maybe it was a thank you card. And she would have us write out a thank you card, a thank you note to my grandparents. She knew, especially, that my grandmother would appreciate that. She appreciated knowing that we had received what she had sent. We would also tell her a little bit about what we spent it on, or what we were going to spend it on. And it meant so much to her. And then we'd pull out the envelope and write on there, Dr. and Mrs. C. A. Mason, 3046 Hollycrest Place, Hollywood, California, 90053. And it would put the stamp on it, and off it would go in the mail to warm my grandparents' hearts, especially my grandmother's heart. Because she didn't give in order to give the thank you gift, get the thank you note. She gave because she loved us. And by the way, we could predict. I know exactly what my grandmother gave me for my 11th birthday. She gave me $11. Guess what she gave me for my 16th birthday? She gave me $16. Christmas, I can't remember how much it was. But she gave that because she loved us. She wanted good things for us. She wanted to give us a little bit of autonomy and freedom of choice about what we would do with the money that we got. But she also appreciated knowing that we loved her. She also appreciated knowing that her gift meant something to us. And so the thank you note was so meaningful. You know what? As we look at this scripture that Emilio read to us, Psalm 100, I kind of hear in it the voice of my mother. After I've opened the card and received the joy and the blessing of the gift, I hear the voice of my mother in this, only this time it is the psalmist. We're not told which psalmist it was, if this was David or another one of the writers of the Psalms. But he's giving a directive, and who knows, it's not labeled, it could be she, giving a directive telling us how to respond to the goodness of God. We know it in our hearts, but we need to be reminded. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, to Yahweh, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that Yahweh, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we are His ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And then verse 4 is so meaningful at this Thanksgiving time, but its meaning goes far beyond Thanksgiving for me. Because as I read the language of this psalm, it's called at the title, A Psalm of Thanksgiving. One of the things that happened in the economy that God gave to the people of Israel to celebrate their relationship with Him, to emblemize their relationship with Him, to remind them of the cost to God of our relationship with Him and the unending love that He has for us, was this sanctuary. And in that sanctuary, there were sacrifices made for sin, and then also there were sacrifices that still spoke of the atonement for sin, but they were called thank offerings. And I believe as I read this in context, that this isn't just a general call to thanksgiving, but this is a psalm for when you come to the sanctuary, when you come to the courtyard of God to give your offering, to give your sacrifice of thanksgiving to Him. And so it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. So picture yourself. You have your sacrifice, whatever it is, prescribed for that gift. And you are coming to that courtyard of the very temple of God, the very sanctuary of God. And you're going to offer this sacrifice in this sacred place with all this powerful symbolism, all of the powerful typology that's there, the golden furniture, the great brass altar, the tent that you can't go into, only the priests can go into it, and perhaps the glimmering of the glory coming from within on the top of the Ark of the Covenant coming out. How do you come into that courtyard? You might say it's always Habakkuk 2, verse 20, that we sometimes sing as an introit to the worship service in history. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. Such a sacred place to come to. Such solemn things to happen there. And we might think that's the only appropriate response, to enter in perhaps with our heads and our eyes cast down. To enter in thinking about the briars and the thorns of our lives and how bad that we have been, how we have failed, how we have fallen down, how we have been broken. But that's not what the psalmist tells us. The psalmist tells us going into this self-same place of sacrifice, this self-same place of the glorious manifestation of our God's presence. He says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Now, one of the problems I have in life is that I tend to be, especially when I'm not up here, a very contained person. You know what I mean by that? It means you can't always tell what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling. I might be overjoyed, and you couldn't tell. In fact, it used to be early in our marriage that sometimes I would really think I was smiling. I would be happy, and I would really think I was smiling. And Stephanie would say to me, is there anything wrong? That's how contained I naturally am. And I'm not a person who naturally jumps for joy. I'm not a person who naturally shouts out about things that I'm excited about or happy. You might see a nuance on my face when I start to get excited. I have to say, even in my preaching history, listening to tapes from long ago, my voice used to be way more monotone, and you just couldn't tell what was going on. So I understand by our culture, I'm getting amen from my daughter. It's one of her troubles in life is that I don't react like she sometimes hopes I would when she tells me different things. But she's assured that I'm excited inside, right, Missy? No, she's still not sure. But anyhow, so I understand this whole thing of not naturally being exuberant and shouting and all of these things, but look what it says here in this scripture. Is the best, most proper response. And notice what it's calling us to this response based on. It's not even calling us to this response based on the material goods that God gives us. It's not calling us to this response based on happenings that just blow us away, miracle stories and things like that. It's calling us to this response based on who God is and His attitude towards us and His faithfulness. Some of you studied the adult Sabbath school lesson talking about His covenant faithfulness, His desire and His love of making promises to us and keeping them and helping us by His power to keep the promises that we make in return to Him. Look at these things that it says about Him. These are the reasons to shout to the Lord. These are the reasons to serve Him. These are the reasons to come before His presence with singing. These are the reasons to enter His gates with thanksgiving. These are the reasons to enter His courts with praise, be thankful to Him, and bless His name. Going back through verse 3, know that Yahweh, the Lord, He is God. That's reason enough right there, isn't it? He's above us. He's greater, more glorious than we could imagine, more powerful than we could put into words. And what is the evidence of that? The creation all around us, including we ourselves. It is who made us? It is He who made us. Are you glad to be alive? I am glad to be alive. I'm not 100% all the time glad to be alive, but in general, as a big picture of my life, I am glad to be alive. Right now, I am overjoyed to be alive in this room with you. And who made that possible? He made us. He made you. The life that you have, the vessel in which you live it, by which you accomplishes the purposes and tasks of your life, was created by Him, designed by Him, and He is your constant life giver. We did not make ourselves. We are His people. Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe who created you, who created all around you and beyond what you can see and understand, calls you His own. And not like a possession that He's just wanting to control, but someone that He wants to be in relationship with. Someone that He wants to know and have you know Him. Based on your age or some other demographic information, you might not think you're valuable to Him. You might think you're too old to be of use to Him. You might think you're too young to have anything meaningful to contribute. And to the young, from zero on up through high school, if we as adults sometimes make you feel like you have nothing to contribute, please forgive us. We, from zero on up through life, are His people. And I love the next phrase. Upon which to base our thanksgiving, upon which to base our shouting, upon which to base our singing, our praise, and our gladness. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. What does that mean? It's not an insult, folks. It's not a diminution of you. It's not making you less than you are. It's saying He is committed to caring for you. Thank you for that word. We are cherished. We are precious. And I want to take it down from the in general that you might be able to accept to say you and you and you and you and you, every last one of you, are precious. And He commits Himself to care for you. This shepherd laid down His life for the sheep. You know that? God so loved the world, God so loved you, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the gift for you. That's the kind of shepherd He is. That's the kind of caregiver He is. That's the attitude and the commitment that He has to you and to me as His people. And then His characteristics that we can count on. For Yahweh, the Lord, is good. I see the evidence of creation around me. I see it in the mechanisms of my own body. And it puts me in awe, the wisdom, the majesty, the power, the creativity of this Creator. But I've considered the possibility of what would it be like if we were created indeed, and the Creator was not good. Aren't you so glad the Creator is good? Aren't you so glad the Shepherd is good? And you might wonder to yourself, how can I know that this is so? Just because you tell me, just because the Bible tells me so, doesn't mean He's good. The ultimate testimony that He is good is the coming of Jesus, who came and took our sins, took our briars and our thorns, our sickness, took everything bad that we have experienced and created upon Himself, paid the price for it so that we could be His. The evidence of history shows us that Jesus did in fact come. The evidence of history and the testimony of those who gave their lives in testimony to His resurrection tells us that He was who He said He is. And the evidence comes in clearly, just what the psalmist says. The Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. And so, my friends and my family, what do we have to say about that? Can you guess? Someone said it. It's right on the screen. All we can say is thank you. All we can do is open our hearts in gratitude as we give our lives to Him and say, thank you. And He loves it when we do. It doesn't feed His ego, it feeds His heart when we offer praise. It feeds His heart when we give Him thanksgiving. You might say, He already knows everything. It's the willing act of your heart to say thank you. It's the willing act of your heart to praise His name. To shout, if that's how you express yourself. And let us give each other the freedom, by the way, to express ourselves in our gratitude to God. It is whatever way your heart reaches out to Him to say thank you. He receives it, and He loves it. I'm going to give you a tangible way this morning. I've asked the deacons to pass out a little card to you that I'd like you to have. Go ahead right now, because you know that it's Thanksgiving offering Sabbath, and we are raising, we're already part way there, raising funds so that we can enhance the space in which we eat together, in which our youth eat and worship together. And so we're doing that. But whether you have money or not to give, you have a heart to give. You have praise to give. You have thanksgiving to give. And I want you to be able to do this tangibly here today, whether you have money or not, for you to be able to express your thanksgiving to God. And I'll tell you what's on this card. You'll see it. Now, you might be trying, those of you who have received it, trying to make out the words at the very top. I put those lightly, purposely, because I believe it's something that helps your heart experience if you will write the words thank you up at the top. Write the words thank you up at the top of this card. Express your heart to God. And then, to make it even more personal, thought about putting God or Lord or Jesus or something there. I want you to choose the name that means the most to you, God's name that means the most to you this morning. And I want you to put that there. Thank you, and then your favorite name for God this morning. And then you'll notice the categories of things that are just prompts. You can write whatever you want. But the prompts of things that you might think of that you're thankful for this morning. Maybe a person or a group of people. And by the way, it's okay if you pick one person this morning. We know that you love other people and everything like that. It's okay. And if you look over someone's shoulder, don't do it, but if you do, and you don't see your name on their card, know that they love you too. But that's just the person that came to their mind today. So a person or people, a spiritual blessing, some way that God has showed Himself in your life that helped you see His love, helped you see His plan for you in a more clear way. A possession. We speak against materialism, but the Bible's full of telling us how God gives us the possessions that we have. And so you might list a possession that you have there. And then finally, something that happened. Something that you look and you just say, thank you, God, that that happened. A miracle, an ordinary event in life that was just a blessing. Take the time to write that down. And express your thanks to God. This is your thank you card to Him. If you're moved to give an offering as part of our Thanksgiving offering, you can do one of two things with this. I designed it so that it'll fit inside a tithe envelope if you want to symbolically give it to God. In that way, give your thanks to God. Whether there's money in it or not, you could do that and bring it up. At the end, we are going to sing the doxology, and we're going to bring our thanksgiving offerings to God. Or you could keep it as a memento that reminds you of the things that you are thankful for. And so, as we come to this time in our service to tangibly thank God, to express our thanksgiving, I would invite you to join me as we sing together. as we sing a song glorifying God, as we follow the prompt of the psalmist who says, it's time to give a thank you card to God for his goodness, for his gifts, for his blessing, for his calling us his people, for his making us and calling us his own. And so, would you stand with me and let's sing together the doxology. I'm trusting that if you don't know it, you'll just join the crowd. We don't have it on the screen, but would you join with me and sing it? And if you have an offering to share, just come down and we'll put them in the baskets here, and then we'll have a prayer blessing the offering. Let's sing together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Thank you so much for your gifts. Thank you for manifesting your love to God as we share in this. It's a blessing to him. It's a blessing to our service to the community. It means so much as we share together, expressing our thanksgiving. I hesitate to say I speak for God, but I share his word that he delights in you, that he loves you, and he loves to be loved by you. He cares for you. He's committed to you. He wants you in his family. And while the offerings are coming up this morning, I want to say one more thing. If up until today, you haven't quite given yourself to him, there's nothing that he wants more than your heart. He wants you to trust him. And no matter what has held you back from giving yourself to him, he has you covered to make it possible for you to do that. Whether you might be someone who just felt like you didn't need to, like you didn't need that kind of a crutch in life, he's ready to receive you right now. And you'll find out that he is exactly what and who you needed in life. Or in the more likely instance, that you felt like you're not good enough, like you're too damaged, like you've been too bad. Whatever the case may be, I want to assure you this morning, nothing would delight him more than for you to give yourself to him and say, here I am, as I am yours, save me. And he promises that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Would you join me in prayer right now as we thank him and as we commit ourselves to him? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for making us, creating us, for giving us life. We thank you for giving us one another, and we thank you for accepting us as your people, as your sheep for whom you care. And most of all, we thank you for giving Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins, that we can be accepted as sons and daughters of God, princes and princesses of the kingdom, precious in your sight, beloved in your heart. Please accept us. Accept our offerings. And with both our offerings and with us, we ask that you would do your mighty, blessed, and good will in this world. Make this a better place. Let your love be lifted up, that people would be drawn to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.